Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 7th of August, recording at 9:27 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights. Stock markets in Asia and Europe are mostly biding time here. So quiet, in other words. A few more gains than declines. The biggest gain by far was in Thailand, which has been a serial underperformer over the last few weeks due to political concerns, but it's on a very low valuation, and it jumped just over 4% here today. Now, European stock markets had a very quiet day. They may be challenged on the opening tomorrow, as may some of the Asian indices, because Wall Street closed fairly weak towards the lows of the day, with the Dow down 224, that's 1.93%, S&P down 23, that's 1.79%, a smaller decline in the NASDAQ. And elsewhere, government bonds, very strong. U.S. Treasuries took off today. More on that in a moment. U.S. dollar sold off early on and then rallied strongly towards the close near the highs here right now. We've had breakouts on a number of indices against a number of currencies. And crude oil, hovering just below that it's hovering around the $20 level. It's had a range today of 117.91. That might have been a new reaction low, or close to it if not, and 121.78 on the high last, 119.83. Gold shrugged off a rally to close down a little bit. Currently 873 for bullion, against the background of that strong dollar. Agricultural commodities rebounded in here today. Some of them, whatever, the grains and beans, led by wheat. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, it's obviously still a nervous environment. People are very concerned about the slowdown in global GDP growth. They're very concerned about the deleveraging that's actually taking place. They are concerned about the focus on tackling inflation from central banks and the fact that some countries, notably some Asian countries, have inflation rates above their short-term interest rates. Yet stock markets had sold off a lot, and valuations have improved considerably in a number of high-growth markets, not least China and India. But again, people are concerned about the higher short-term interest rates and the prospect for some profit downgrades. That's been a concern generally, profit downgrades, that is. So here we are in a situation where people are exceedingly nervous, and I get some anxious questions about valuations and should we be buying in here or not, and so on. Now, my main view is that I just took to this in terms of how I feel it. I personally feel that the time to be selling is when stock markets are doing surprisingly well. And what's surprisingly well? Well, if you get trends accelerating higher, and we've seen that in many of the Fuller Money themes in the last few years. I did not lighten then, but I've often commented that trends were running ahead fast, and that leaves them susceptible to, it's an ongoing discussion in Fuller Money, that when trends accelerate ahead, pull too far away from their long-term moving averages, in other words, then they are highly susceptible to a downward reversion to the mean. And when they fall too sharply, that they're going to most likely bounce back in a good many instances. The trouble this time, of course, is that we ran into the perfect storm. It started with the U.S. banking crisis, which turned out to be a lot worse than I expected at any rate. But it was essentially a homegrown situation. I think what really did the damage for stock markets over the few months prior to the mid-July reaction lows, and what still hangs over stock markets, at least in terms of a psychological Damoclean sword, is the crude oil price. That's the big one. And when crude more than doubles from September of last year into early July of this year, that's a serious problem, which of course everyone is extrapolating up. A lot of that move took place because of a flood of money into commodity tracker funds, and it was threatening or beginning to crunch GDP growth and causing central banks to push up interest rates, so on. You know all that story. And then we had the spike in agricultural prices, which is aggravated by some poor crop news out of the US. But things have changed fairly quickly in the last few weeks. Oil has fallen over 20% from its high. It's still expensive. And we've seen those grains really come off their highs very, very substantially. One of the ones that had concerned people the most in Asia was the price of rice. And I see that in dollar terms, rice got up to $25. That was back in April, in late April. And that had gone from a level in January of $14. So it goes from $14 to $25 in the first 4 months of the year, and caused havoc. Well, it has fallen back to, it's just above 16, 16.4 right now. So come down from 25 to 16.4. It's still a bit high historically, but it's way, way off its highs. And the point I'm trying to make here is that we are seeing downward pressure on a number of these commodities, where we saw those big accelerating upward trends. Now, it's the same old story, and this is why technical analysis is so important, and it's our behavioral factual chart reading technical analysis. In other words, we're not interested in technical theory, we just want to look at the price charts. And if they accelerate up dramatically, that's unsustainable, and they're going to fall back down significantly. And that's what happened to rice, which I was just talking about. That's what's happened to some of the other, well, all the other grains recently. That's what started to hit crude oil in the early days of, I think, in the first or early part of the second week in July. And so they're falling back, and this has been the source of much of the inflationary concerns around the world. So I think, and we go back to central banks, and central banks have been described as being caught between a rock and a hard place fairly accurately, because they see global GDP growth slowing, and they also see that the inflation is stubbornly high, and the statistics on inflation are lagging, of course, so they're not reflecting the lower prices that we're seeing in these commodities yet. And it takes longer for those prices to work their way through in shops, as I've said before. And companies are under earnings pressure, so they're desperate to be able to hike prices if they possibly can, and the central banks don't like that. And then, of course, people are frustrated in seeing the commodity pressures and seeing their utility bills go up, gasoline bills going up, food bills going up. And so that creates some wage pressure, which central banks are very concerned about. So it's kind of been a kind of a white knuckle time, not just for investors, but for the central banks as well. And really, what we're going to see here is the central banks, I think, at some point break ranks and switch their in terms of their inflation fighting stance and shift to boosting growth while vowing all along, of course, that they're going to remain vigilant on inflation. They have to do that. But we want to start to see some evidence in terms of the monetary policy changes. Now, I think until that happens, until banks do moderate their hawkish stand on inflation, clearly, emphatically, then stock markets will still be, or investors generally, I should say, will still be very nervous, and therefore stock markets generally will still be a bit on the defensive. Now, we're already seeing some changes along those lines, hardly surprising. They can see that what's happened with commodity prices recently as much as you and I can. China, I think, is probably leading the way, and it was the first one to start tightening. And so we are seeing a shift there. This all takes a bit of time. You know, when we live through it, it seems like an eternity. When we look back on it some years later, it all takes place very, very quickly. But meanwhile, we had that exceedingly oversold condition in stock markets, those bullish sentiment indicators, and then the crude oil price broke, and that set everything up for what I described as a technical rally of at least a month or two. And a month is almost up. Some of those indices are back in term and back underneath some potential psychological resistance levels from their previous lows. Somebody asked me in an email if a market rallies back up to a previous important low, why is that a psychological resistance level? Well, while the market was above that floor, say the March lows in this instance that I'm talking about, people are wondering if that is the floor. They know the market found support there, and they're probably quite tempted to buy near that level. The traders, though, will have stops underneath it if it starts to go through that level. So basically, though, but people are happy to buy near a support level as long as it holds. Once it's broken on the downside, then they want to sell positions at that same level. They where they felt it was a support barrier, they now see it as a resistance barrier. It's as simple as that. It's all psychology. And that's what we are seeing. We're seeing stock market indices struggling as they rally up near those former lows. Now, some are higher and some never broke those lows, so they vary across the spectrum overall. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's still a nervous environment in here, but valuations are much improved, and we are moving, inching towards that stage where central banks become more accommodative once again. But it's not a hold your breath situation. So people ask me, are these themes still good value? And my answer is, well, yes, if you take a long-term view, if you're looking for hot performance over the next 2 or 3 months, probably not. A hot performance over the next 6 months, I don't know. It depends too much on events and the central bank activity. But will the Chinese stock market be a lot higher 5, 10 years from now? I certainly think so. Ditto India. Will the US banking crisis be a memory rather than an ongoing problem in 5 years from now? Almost certainly, in my view, but they're not going to go back to the racy, highly speculative profits that they had seen before any time quickly, or that would certainly surprise me. 10 years from now might be a different story. They might have invented something else to make a lot of money in the short term and medium term, and eventually get themselves in trouble with. That's sort of a cycle we've seen repeated every 10 to 15 years. Now, so that's where we are. And again, on the Fuller Money themes, people ask me about the mining shares and if commodities are coming off, is that really is that bad for the mining shares? Well, psychologically it is. Psychologically, it's sort of the last shoe to drop, or the last penny to drop, having the commodities come off. But remember, what makes some of those companies really good, and I'm thinking of top miners like BHP and Rio, is their pricing power. How many retailers, for instance, can raise their prices the way BHP and Rio and Vale and Brazil have raised their iron ore prices? And how many utility companies can do that? How many pharmaceutical companies can do that? How many food processors can do that? So it's an extraordinary situation here that they actually have. And also, the barriers to entry in terms of competition are very high. The big boys have gotten most of the sources, control most of the sources of these materials, and they're not discovering as much of the stuff anymore. All these problems, and then we have the global infrastructure boom. I mean, these are familiar themes, and I'm probably going on too long in this audio, but we do. My message is, we don't want to lose sight of that at a time when people are scared. Understandably, I'm scared. I'm scared too. When I see the destructive the destruction of capital that's taken place as a result of this sort of banking folly, and when we see downdrafts in stock markets. I've seen it before, and so have you, in all probability. So, but if we focus too much on the recent past, and if we focus too much on the short-term uncertainty, I feel that our vision becomes blurred. And if we look out a few years, we'll see that this was more of an opportunity than a crisis. Last year, the opposite applied, although some things were still going up. I should really take this year. First 7, 6 months of this year were really tough. Now, should people be buying in here now? I think they can, gingerly. Don't pay up for anything, as I've said before. But equally, since there's so much uncertainty about, people can still sit pat for a while. Now, a few other things. Just going to take a quick drink of water first. This dollar rally. People have been talking about it for quite a while, but I find it surprising, and suspect that many other people do as well. It's certainly momentum driven right now. My head tells me that, and my experience of this type of situation tells me to be skeptical about the durability of this recent rally in the dollar. But then again, I can see the price action and the practical side of my brain says, be very careful, you know, don't stand in the way of a freight train or a steamroller. The test will come. We've seen the dollar break out of its ranges, not against all, but against a number of currencies. Now, the test will come when we get that first pause. In other words, will the dollar find support in the upper regions, or really above? Will it find support near the breakout points? If so, and if it can consolidate above the breakout points, then certainly currency traders will be emboldened to fuel further gains. Conversely, if we get some big downside dynamics anytime soon, and if they pull the dollar back down into those trading ranges, traders will look at it and say, well, it couldn't maintain the upward break, so it's going to go back and look at the lower side of the range, and down we go in another self-feeding move. So this will be an interesting time here overall. And we will soon see. All will be revealed, I think, fairly shortly. Now, also, government bonds, U.S. Treasuries really did rally sharply in here today, and the long bond is futures are up 1.22 as I speak. Now, I think. That's influenced, if you look at the short-term interest rates, people are no longer discounting interest rate hikes the way they were. The pendulum swung in the other direction, and they're starting to sniff out interest rate cuts, and I think that's right. Central banks will be the next big move on rates. They'll almost certainly be down. For a number of countries. Meanwhile, we may get some mixed action. We get a few more rate hikes. India might raise again, for instance. I think bond investors are relieved by the fact that they see less upward pressure on short-term interest rates. My long-term argument, which people aren't going to worry about every day, but my long-term argument, obviously, but my long-term argument is that the yields are really quite unattractive, but it may require a pickup in confidence regarding GDP growth before these bonds come under serious pressure. So those are all the topics that are out there that I think are interesting for another day. And I apologize if I've gone on too long in this audio, so I'll just say all the very best to all of you.